Sunday with Miriam on RT Radio 1, sponsored by Travel Department. Explore the wonder of the world's most iconic sites with Travel Department. The world discovered together.
Well, singer-songwriter Declan O'Rourke is going to be on the stage of the Abbey Theatre this evening in conversation with comedian Deirdre O'Kane. It's part of the first Fortnight Festival. It's a really interesting festival, curated, co-curated by poet Stephen James Smith and director Maria Fleming. And Declan joins me now in our studio. Welcome, Declan. I'm just saying, you look really well. I haven't seen you for a few years.
You're great. Thanks, Maria. You're looking great yourself.
Yeah, no, seriously. Right. Tell me first about what you might think is going to happen on stage this evening. I mean, have you worked it all out, plotted it with Deirdre, or will you both wing it?
There'll be a lot of winging, I think, and I'm very attracted to that idea. I think it's great fun not knowing very much about the other person. I met Deirdre once and we had a bit of laugh. We happened to be on in the same building with separate shows and we met afterwards and had a bit of a laugh. So there was good chemistry, but apart from that, it's kind of in at the deep end, and I like that, you know.
Yeah. Now, what do you think you might share with Deirdre in terms, I suppose, of the pressures that can be on a performer, whether that's maybe in music or in comedy? I assume you'll share common experiences in a way.
I think there'll be a bit of fun, and you know, I don't know where the conversation is going to go. I saw some of the pointers the festival kind of gave us about talking about craft and resilience and gratitude and things like that. I don't know how much some of that will come into play, but I think it's liable to go anywhere. I think we'd both be certainly interested in each other's approach to the craft, and given the topic of the festival, you know, how it comes to bear on your own life, arts, and your own maybe mental health and that. I'd like to read the mission statement of the festival, if that's all right.
Now, how long is it?
Oh, it's only a couple of lines.
That's fine.
A couple of lines. First Fortnight is a charity that challenges mental health prejudice and stigma through arts and cultural action. We harness the power of the arts as a catalyst for change, healing, and community engagement, ensuring that mental health is recognised, discussed, and supported in every corner of society. I think that's lovely and direct
so
and simple.
You know? Yeah, and really important. I'm lucky enough to have interviewed you, you know, in the past a number of times, Declan. So I know a little bit about you, but tell me a little bit about your own experience with minding your mental health. I think it started when you were living and working in Australia when you were younger. What happened?
So, you know, I've had a couple of challenging times in my life. It doesn't affect my life every day or come to define me. But yes, I had a couple of certainly when I was about 19, I moved to Australia, and you're out there in the world for the first time, supposed to be taking on the world. And I kind of, I suppose, hamstrung myself in a way by I arrived in Australia a big fan of The Doors and long hair down to my belly and, you know, all of this stuff. And I was into that era of exploring everything. And I was really keen to try what they call acid. And I got my chance at some stage. Didn't do it probably under the right circumstances. And, of course, you know, I learned afterwards, you know, you never know what's going into these things. You don't know who's making them and all that kind of stuff. The circumstances were not ideal, and not ideal in terms of my isolated state at that point, away from my wider circle of family and friends and things like that. And I had a few drinks as well, and it kind of went a bit wrong. It ended up being what they call a bad trip. You kind of freak out and that kind of thing. And I didn't have, I didn't know what to do really, and I didn't know who to talk to. That turned into what we now call panic attacks. Over a sustained period of probably a year or two, there was a lot of anxiety, and it would just come at you at the most random times. And when you were tired, especially. And I actually got to this phase where I was afraid to go to sleep, because when I was going to sleep, these things appear behind your eyes. When you start to dream, actually, they reminded me of the images that I that I had seen. And it so that further exacerbates the whole problem because you're getting more tired. And over a period of about 2 years, I found my way out of that slowly. And I guess I saw it as a bit of a badge of honor that it kind of made me stronger in myself, that I thought if I can get through that, I can get through anything. But once something like that happens to you, anything of that nature, anxiety, I think depression, panic attacks, all along the spectrum of other things they phrase as mental illness, I think you know that it can happen. You're more susceptible to it, and you have to, you know, look after yourself a bit more. And I think for me, you know, that came back about 10 years later. I had a bout of it again, and I probably wasn't looking after myself as much at that time. I was probably just working too hard, isolated myself more. There was a lot of pressures at work, and I was, you know, partying too much as well, all of these things. And at that point, when it came back, I thought, okay, that did not go away completely. There was always a residual trace of it there. Now I have to do something about it and figure out what this is. Pardon me. And, you know, talking about it with people is huge, you know, and cannot be understated in any instance. I think how much it diffuses the bomb, and literature on the subject, learning what's actually happening when you go through something like that, chemically in your body, and you know, taking away the mystery of it, because half of the problem is not knowing what's happening. And the fear of that, yeah. You know, and the terror of it. And thinking you're the only person in the world that this is happening to or has ever happened to. So, you know, I luckily managed to, you know, kind of balance myself. But you do have to maintain things and watch for it, know yourself, and, you know, not work too hard. Or if you take on a lot of work, make sure you're organized about it, not leaving things to the last minute, getting good sleep, having a good circle of friends, careful about what you put in your body, eat well. All the obvious things that are actually good for you, you know, for your general health.
So that's interesting. You obviously see it as something you manage rather than cure. Is that correct? And do you sense when something is coming on you? Like, do you know warning signs?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, every once in a while you get a little, you know, if you get stressed or whatever it is, definitely overtired, or you would feel a sense of the possibility of it coming back again. And, you know, for me, you know, I have various warning signs. I have a bit of tinnitus, actually. And when that starts to get louder, I know I'm not sleeping enough. And I say, okay, I need to, you know, but anything like that. But you definitely feel a bit more anxiety coming on. And, you know, the book that was amazing for me was, it became a bit of a Bible for a couple of years. And it had found its way to me through family members and things like that. But it was called Essential Help for Your Nerves. Pardon me, Time of the Morning. Essential Help for Your Nerves by an Australian psychiatrist. She's passed it now, but she was very active, I think, in pioneering in the 70s, Dr. Claire Weeks.
Okay.
And, you know, it covered the whole spectrum of mental illnesses, but that was at the start of the book. And she kind of equips you with an understanding of what's happening physiologically, and then a set of, we'll say, affirmations that you use anytime you feel something coming on, and just to remind yourself and see it as an opportunity to, you know, reprogram yourself, not, oh my God, this is happening again.
Yeah, that's really interesting.
Yeah, it's actually brilliant. It's really helpful. But,
and do you think being happy in your life, being satisfied, also helps? I mean, you've got your lovely family in Canberra, you've got your older boy. I mean, you're in a good place.
Yeah, absolutely. But that's something you have to work at, you know.
Yeah.
You surround yourself with good people, make choices one at a time, simple things to get yourself to a place where you're, you know, I suppose, yes, the word happy, it's possible to be happy in this world. You know.
Is it?
I don't think it's possible to be 100% happy all the time. No, you know, I think like anything, if something is absolute, if you're all of one thing or another, then, you know, that's unrealistic. And I think you need to be able to accept that you will be a little bit of this and a little bit of that and, you know, and not fight with yourself about that.
Yeah, and you've got a new album. Of course, you write beautiful music. I was actually looking you up last night and reminded myself, like Paul Weller said, the song he'd love to have written in the world is Galileo. I mean, you've just written so many great stuff and you've a new album, haven't you, coming out next year?
I have, yeah. It's funny to be on here and not to be promoting something of my
own. Come back next year when you have the album.
No, there are things in the pipe, you know. Yeah. I'm not in promo mode yet, but very excited about them. A new album is one I made in Australia last March. I'm putting the finishing touches to that and it was in a film and things.
Yeah,
like
Lo Lie,
that,
the
know.
Field, shot in Australia.
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
It was great fun. It was in at the deep end and went out to Australia for that and kind of played. I haven't really been in a film before apart from a couple of extra shots or whatever, but this was the lead role and, you know, got a few songs into the film. And really enjoyable.
Yeah, and you do a lot on novels. Are you writing any more fiction at the moment? You do number a lot of things, Declan.
Well, creativity is, you know, something that is my, I don't know, it's my mecca.
It's your DNA.
It is, and it is a kind of a spiritual thing, if I am spiritual at all. It's being in touch with your centre and your, you know, just, I absolutely love it, and I always did. And so there are no boundaries to it. As far as I'm concerned, it's, you know, the society might put boundaries on you, but if you're ticking that box, no matter what the form, I think, you know, I just get a kick out of that. And
are you spiritual?
In a sense, I'm sure I'm, but I'm not religious. Yes, I'm definitely human and, you know, yeah.
When you start an album, I have to finish now, but I'm just interested in, is it difficult to top something like Galileo? I mean, every time you write a new album, I know you're smiling. Smiling either. I want to kill her or I love her.
No, no, it's not hard to top it at all because it's the experience of being on the back of the beast when you're when you're writing something more than what it becomes. I have no control over that.
I understand.
I think every song I write is as good as the last, or, you know, within reason, you know.
Yeah.
But you only finish the ones that you're excited about and you really enjoy. Each one is different and they're like your children, you know. Galileo was very good to me. I didn't know anybody else was going to like it at the time. I just loved it, you know. But I, you know, I've written a couple of hundred songs at this stage and I love them all and I continue to write them and
I love them too.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, no. And listen, it was lovely to have you here this morning. First fortnight, the Mental Health Arts and Culture Festival. It's up and running. And you can find out more about your event in the Abbey Theatre this evening at 6 p.m, which is great. There are some tickets available for the show tonight. And also the Abbey box office have told us there's a team there at the theatre from 5 p.m. this evening for last minute sales and ticket collections. And everything else is on firstfortnight.ie. And listen, if you've been affected by our conversation this morning, lots of resources on rt.ie helplines. We're actually going to go out in a song, Declan, which is you and the RT Concert Orchestra. What a treat singing Schlieb Bloom.